message the Lord's blessed me with. But let's be in prayer for Del Verde and for Wayne with all that they're going through and experiencing this time. Sister Theta and Nancy, that the Lord would bless them, comfort them, strengthen them. Sister Mary Hubbs and Barb, that the Lord would bless them with all they stand in need. Let's continue to pray for traveling mercies for Glenda and Greg, as they'll be traveling here this weekend, I believe. Brother Bill's family and their loss, the Lord would bless that family in a very special way. I seen Brother Armstrong up there at the store today. He said he's praying for us as a church, and I thanked him for that. But I told him we just want what the Lord wants for us. That's all. We just want what he wants for us. And always constantly pray for the Gordons also. And Brother Humphreys, as he comes this Sunday, that the Lord would give him a message. The message that he has for us, the Lord has for us. The message that we need. And that the Lord would give that to him by his grace. And by his grace he would bring that unto us. And may our hearts be prepared and ready for that. Brother Mike, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Father, we're grateful that you've allowed us to be here again this evening, dear Lord. We just pray, my blessed Brother Dennis, who brings us devotion. Lord, we thank you for him and Charlie and Mark as they do bring these devotions. Lord, we just pray that you'll lay upon their heart always what we stand in need of to hear, dear Lord. We pray for Brother Humphrey as he comes on Sunday, him and his wife, dear Lord. Just give him the travel mercies that he stands in need of. Bless him in a special way, dear Lord, as he brings your message to us at the Sunday school lesson. Lord, we just pray you bless him in a special way. As Brother Dennis said, just help us to clear our minds, dear Lord, that we'll be able to receive this message and apply it to our lives, dear Lord. We pray for the many on our prayer list, the many needs, the many situations that the people are going through right now, our members, Lord. We pray for each one and each need. We always think of those with cancer, dear Lord. We always think of Sister Thea. Lord, just bless her in a special way. Hold her close to you, Lord. Just pray that you might just heal her body and be with God.
Amen.
He stands beside her. Dear Lord, we do pray. Lord, just be with Mark Titus and Kathy and Becky Posner, dear Lord, and Dale and Greg Gordon's dad, dear Lord. We just pray for each one, Lord. They all have needs, and you know what they are, dear Lord. Pray you might touch them in a special way and lift them up, dear Lord. We do pray. And then we pray for Mark Clark Sr., dear Lord, with his COVID-19. We just pray that you'll remove it from his body and just give him the help that he stands in need of and be with his church and his sister and be with his power. Just bless those that are in need. We think of Sister Del Verde right now. We think of Wayne, dear Lord, with his many needs. Lord, pray that you'll be merciful upon him. Just heal his body, we do pray that your will, dear Lord. Just lead and guide those that are on the road to travel, dear Lord, this week. We think of Greg Gordon, Lord. Just be with him as he goes to Florida, and then be with Glenda as she travels, dear Lord. Just bring him back safely, and we thank you for the safe return of Mark Smith, dear Lord, and up north and that. Just pray you continue to lead, guide him with all of us. Lord, especially help us now as we seek a pastor, dear Lord. We just pray you might bless us. Lord, just guide us to know what your will is. Help us, dear Lord, to make that decision that it always give you the honor and glory through it. And then bless that man that we do call, dear Lord, with your will, that he'll know that, dear Lord, and that he'll seek you and always to know what you have for him, Lord, we pray. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, dear Lord. We pray and ask this in our gracious Savior's name. Amen.
If you turn me to Psalms 30:37. Like I said, that song, that last song we sung, just goes along with the message. Trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. We'll read Psalms 37, verses 1 through 8. A psalm of David declares, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. I believe doing good is a result of trusting, really seriously trusting the Lord. When you truly experience trusting the Lord, I believe that will help you to do good. That will cause you. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Delight thyself. I believe that's another thing that trusting the Lord will do. You will take and find pleasure in the Lord more and more. The more you trust the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Commit thy way. That's another thing that will produce, that will be produced by trusting the Lord. The more you trust him, the more you will commit your life unto him. Every area of your life, your mind, your heart, your soul, your body, your home life, financial, materialistic, or career. The stronger your trust in him grows, the more you will commit unto him. Amen. And I'm telling you, the happier you will be. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. The best way to rest in the Lord is to trust the Lord. The more you trust the Lord, the more you will be able to spiritually rest and wait patiently for him. That's another thing. If you want to truly wait patiently for him, you have to trust him. Trusting him will cause you to wait for him. Fret not thyself. That's anxiety, worry. That will free you from fretting and worrying. Because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I was talking to a friend about trusting the Lord. I'm thankful for the confidence this man at work has for me when it comes to trusting the Lord. He says, Dennis, when it comes to walking through a fire or keeping your cool in a den of lions or on a stormy sea, you got this, Dennis. I told him, I says, it's time to right the ship, my friend. It's time to right the ship. When it comes to tests and trials that comes my way in this wonderful life that's been given to me by Jesus, my Redeemer, out of 100 tests, I've passed, sad to say, zero. To some degree, I've failed all of them. That is, truly trusting the Lord, it's a mark. It's a bar. That is something that none of us can reach completely. That bar. That state of perfection to trusting the Lord. But as I explained to him, trusting the Lord is a process. It's a way of life. But I first reminded him of our natural inclination, our human nature, first of all. I told him our natural father, Adam, was personally on the spot in the twinkling of an eye, created by the Lord himself from the dust of the earth. Right there on the spot. The Lord himself made and created him a wife. They were blessed with anything they could possibly want or need. The Lord blessed them with a perfect government. They were never taxed. No taxes they didn't have to pay. A perfect leader, a holy leader, a gracious leader, and a merciful leader. They had everything. They were blessed to walk with the Lord. And this is what I really like to really make stand out. These two were blessed to walk in literally with the Lord daily. These two got to walk with the Lord daily. Not only walk with him, but they got to talk with the Lord daily. These two were blessed with the best of the best. I don't know about you, but I have trouble just hearing the Lord's voice at times. I often struggle to feel the Lord's presence. They experienced the presence of the Lord and they heard from him daily. Then a test, a trial came their way, and they did what? They failed to trust the Lord. They failed to trust the Lord. See, failure has been one of my greatest teachers, oftentimes. And my failures is with how the Lord and what the Lord has used to teach me so much. But it's a matter of not staying stuck there in failure, but always keep reaching forth to the bar that's set before us to keep trusting the Lord. In Psalms 118 and verse 8, it declares it is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. Or let me say it this way, it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in yourself. I've been talking with individuals concerning eternal salvation. They at least being honest, declaring that they're not sure if they're saved. I tell them, I know that I'm saved. They says, how do you know? How can you know that you're saved, Dennis? How can you know? It's impossible for anyone to know that they're saved. Like Paul, it's my desire that they might be saved. I truly desire that for them. That would bless me more and more in my heart for these people one day. Maybe they are saved, but for them to experience the assurance of salvation, I would love for them to experience that. But I tell them all, it's not a question if a person can know. Because see, it's not me, the one who caused me to know. It's God. So it's not a question if a person can know. If God can cause me to know, he can cause you to know. There isn't no one he can't cause to know that you're truly saved. I have a strong confidence that any saved individual can know. And it's been always my desire for any saved individual to have or to experience the assurance of their salvation. And anyone who professes they're saved, me personally, I'm not satisfied with anything less for them. I want them to taste, to touch, to see, and experience what I did because of the effects that it has in my life. I want them to experience the same. But I'm not going to try to make that happen for them because I can't. This is a personal event between God and that person. But I'm thankful I can share with them how the Lord made it happen for me. I asked this individual, I asked him, do you trust the Lord? You know, he's not sure if he's saved. And I asked him, do you trust the Lord? And I explained to him what trust means. Trust means confidence or assurance, implying a feeling of security. Trust implies instinctive, that is on the spot, unquestioning belief and reliance upon. Trust is confidence, or it implies conscious trust because of definite evidence or past experiences. And I use personal experience. I put myself out on the pedestal. I told him, when you as a produce manager got transferred to this store from the store in Davison, I asked him, did you trust me as a backup, as your backup to help you run this produce department? Of course, his answer was no. I said, why? He says, because I didn't know you. Trusting the Lord, I told him, works basically the same way. If you're not aware of God, if you're not conscious of God, if you've had no dealings with God or with the Lord himself, how can you trust him? I told him you must be born again. I told him there was a man whose name was Nicodemus, and Jesus told him in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But Jesus told this same man, a ruler of the Jews, a very respectable man, he told him, you must be born again, or you cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God. That is, you're not going to understand what John 3:16 means unless first you be born again. God has to give you spiritual life first. I told him, you can't know God. You can't be conscious of God. You can't have anything to do with God. You can try as much as you can, and that's great. But you can't love God. You can't serve God. You can't walk with God. Or any of these things and more, or even trust him, except you be born again. Trust has to have a beginning. It has to have a beginning. It has to have a foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. I ask him, when you came, when did you start trusting me? He said it took time. By producing definite evidences, his trust for me grew. Because of past experiences, trusting the Lord is a result of a relationship with the Lord. The more marks, the more impressions, the more footprints, or the more he writes upon the tables of my heart, or the evidences, or the more experiences with the Lord himself, the stronger that trust will grow. Trusting isn't just something you decide one day what you're going to do. It's a process. My trusting in the Lord has been growing for 26 and a half years. It's never reached that mark, but I keep pressing towards. And let me tell you, because I can testify to this, because I've experienced it myself. The more stronger that your trust in the Lord grows, the more blessed or the more happy and the more tranquil and the more calm I can be even in this present evil world. It will produce the same for anyone else. It's a wonderful feeling just letting go. My last 10 years, I've been letting go. And you know, it's been such a wonderful thing just to let go and just leave it all in His hands. Because, you know, the more you let go, let me tell you this, the more it will become addictive, meaning that you'll want to keep doing it more and more and more. I told him there was a preacher that came here at our Bible conference. His name was Brother Clyde Hancock. And God used him to bring a message for me at a Bible conference, how we God's people let our human reasonings get the best of us. You know, my human reasonings controlled my saved life for my first 10 to 15 years. Controlled me and dominated me. I didn't get to experience the extraordinary like I do now. The only regret I have is not letting go or letting my human reasonings control me or get the best of me. God commands His people. He commanded Joshua and the people to cross the Jordan River. He commanded them to do that. Now, at that time, it was a time of harvest, and that river was raging. It was moving pretty fast, pretty intimidating. I wouldn't try to cross that river unless the Lord commands you to, you know. But the Lord commanded Joshua and the people to cross the Jordan River there. I can see myself at the edge of that water, seeing that water raging. I mean, I went on the St. Clair River a couple times, went on that river, and that water was moving pretty fast. I got out there on my boat, 14-foot boat, and I seen how fast that was moving, and I said, I don't belong on this thing. Definitely not. But that raging water can be pretty intimidating. That alone is pretty intimidating. But the Lord also told Joshua and the people there's going to be giants on the other side of that Jordan. There's going to be situations and circumstances that's too big for you. That there are going to be things that are going to happen over there that you can't handle on your own. There's going to be giants over there. But the Lord still commanded them to cross the Jordan. Brother Hancock said, instead of Dennis crossing, he's waiting for God to build a bridge across. That message was for me, because that's what I was doing for my first 10 to 15 years I was saved. I was waiting for God to build a bridge across that river instead of crossing it. Or maybe instead of a bridge, the Lord will cause the Delta Queen to come and take me to the other side. But you know what? It didn't work that way. The Lord commanded for us to step into the water, to cross that Jordan. When Brother Dan came, God used him to show me where I dwelt. Most of my saved life, only wading in water up to my ankles. Well, that takes a lot of courage, don't it? In his message, he says, how much you can and will experience the extraordinary will depend the farther you venture out and into the unknown. But that takes trusting the Lord, see? You know, Wes, I've taken him out on the bay a lot. And we go out there in the water in our waders. Once that water gets up to your waist, you can't see the next step you're going to take. You know, Wes was always afraid. You know, he might step into a deep hole and go fall in there in the water, you know. Well, it's sort of like that. But that takes trusting the Lord. He asked me after the message, are you ready? Brother Dan did. He says, are you ready to venture out more, Dennis? Or are you ready to trust the Lord more? I didn't say anything to him. I just wanted to get away as fast as I could. Because I was still afraid of the unknown. I was still afraid of the unknown. You know, my human reasoning all the thoughts that went through my head. These are only just a few. But you know, when human reasoning starts going in your head, it just keeps going around and around and around and more and more. Your mind will just keep creating more and more human reasonings instead of just doing the simple thing. Step out in the water. If the Lord commands you to go across, go across. Some of the things that would go through my mind is, well, if I venture out more, or if I go out in the Lord might call me to preach. You know, I was always afraid of that, you know. The Lord might call me to preach. He might call me to go to Cambodia or to Russia or China, you know. These are some of the thoughts that will go through your heads, or even others, all kinds of them. Or the Lord might even make me to get married. You know, sounds dumb, huh? But what a waste. That's all I did. I wasted 10 to 15 years of my spiritual life of what? Experiencing the extraordinary. What a ride. What a blessing it is. What a waste. The only regrets I have is not venturing out in the deeper water even sooner. Brother Charlie, would you lead us in a word of prayer to our prayer band?
Amen. I pray that you'll get rid of it all together, Lord, that they'll find a vaccine for it real soon, and that it'll be out of our area and out of our hair, Lord. Just guide and direct us, Lord. Help us. Be with us. Save our children, our grandchildren. Watch over them, Lord. Pray for those who have left this church, Lord, that you might choose to reveal yourself to them and show them their need to come back if it be thy will. God, we just pray and ask you in the blessed name of Christ Jesus to save souls where you will.
Amen.